Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
With Marks and Spencer. This is not just food. This is M&S food.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Of all the gin joints in all the world, she walks into mine.
You're very welcome back. It is indeed Movies and Booze, and I'm delighted to say we're joined in studio by Linda Coogan, who's going to be reviewing some wine for us this week.
Absolutely, some summer delights.
A little bit low alcohol, I believe. Slightly though, isn't it?
Yeah, like 11 and a half.
Yeah,
so it's still proper wine, you know what I mean? Like, it's still going to get you going, but a little bit lighter for a kind of more bougie kind of daytime brunchy drinking, you know?
Daytime drinking,
brunchy,
bring it on.
Yeah, we kind of enjoyed that, talking about that, didn't we?
Yeah, excellent. And Brian Lloyd's here to take a look at our movies. What are we going to have this week?
Ballerina and Ballad of Wallace Island.
When I saw Ballerina, I thought it might be like a Swan Lake type thing, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, no, it's not. I mean, unless you consider Ana de Armas killing people with axes and guns and plates in one scene as well.
No, tights was all I had in mind for that kind of stuff.
There are tights. I mean, that's true. There are tights in it. It's just, you know, they're okay. Kicking people.
People are being killed with them.
People are being killed with them, quite literally.
And Russell Alford is going to lift the curtain on the world of showbiz.
Absolutely. I've got everything from Doctor Who to stealing clothes off set and watery cosmos. Ooh.
Stealing clothes off set and making a fortune out of it.
Absolutely. Oh, it's a great deal.
There's real money in that.
Yes.
There is money in that.
Yeah, I'm getting my contract changed tomorrow. Keep that wine for a start. Tell you. Oh, yes. Before that, I just want to ask a few questions because we were talking about pop worlds before, and a few of our texts coming. It's the summer of the pop, you know, queen, really, especially in the UK. They're just absolutely everywhere, so see if we're going to gigs. Lister says, I bought tickets for Beyonce in London. They cost an arm and a leg. They redid with 10 of us girls going over for a weekend. Imagine the total cost of that weekend. Amazing.
Emotionally as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
I'm going to Billie Eilish, can't wait. And then at the other end, I have Oasis tickets. I'm already counting down. I spent hundreds on tickets and it feels like a once in a lifetime thing. Hope the lads don't fall apart for August. Okay, who knows? And as a parent of two daughters, I love there's so many female role models for them. These singers are showing girls can do anything. I think Taylor Swift paved the way, and Madonna, if you're the older generation yourself, are you going to any gigs over the summer, lads?
Yeah, Nine Inch Nails.
What a difference.
On the 15th of June.
Where are they on?
Tree Arena.
Very good.
First date of the world tour, the Peel It Back tour, Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor. Going to be up front with my broken finger trying to, you know, start some stuff, like get a bit of a mosh pit going.
Brilliant. Is there a dress code for that? Or
leather, I would imagine. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But I mean, yeah, like tattered clothes, you know, anything that will rip easy when it kind of gets going. Like, I mean, when it kind of kicks
that'll
into...
That'll be definitely loud now, won't it?
I'll be like coming back like... Yeah, no, I'm expecting to get my head blown off. Great. So can't
Fantastic.
Wait.
Yourself?
Yes, going to the Coors in St. John's this Sunday.
Hey.
Yeah, I actually got tickets for my sister. Well, she told me I got her tickets for Christmas and then she announced that we had to go on Sunday. I wouldn't be a Coors fan, apart from Summer Wine, the one that they do with Bono. So,
yes.
You know, I got all in the mood and all the rest. But I think Natalie Imbruglia, is that her name?
Yeah.
And
is that her name? Come on. No, like, Torn isn't like, wasn't a hit of the 90s. Come
I couldn't
on.
Remember her surname. And what is Imelda May?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, from the chorus of that, I was like, yeah, really looking forward to that now. So, yeah.
Satan's Park.
Nothing really from me. I had every intention to see Kylie Minogue's tour. I know, stereotypical homosexual, but I really wanted to go because she puts on a fantastic show. But just the demand for her. I remember when she did the country album a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They were giving tickets away, went to the show. It was fantastic. Now it's impossible. So.
Yeah, they're all impossible, really. They're selling out. Billie Eilish, Lana Del Rey, Charlie XCX tickets for any of them you're doing. Well, it's amazing.
I got tickets for Oasis as well. I was like 600 in the queue when I went on that morning. I was like,
you actually got tickets, did you?
I was like 600 in the queue. Like,
you're the
not
person.
Even. I know.
You're one of the two people that I've met.
Are you serious? Yeah, yeah.
Incredible. Yeah, well done. So, listen, will we start in the world of showbiz gossip? And
yeah, sure thing. So, not sure Whovians in the room, Doctor Who fans, yeah.
That's such a complicated question.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, you could be a Whovian and then you could stop being a Whovian.
And that's kind of what happened to me. So when the reboot happened, I was, you know, teenager type of thing, and Christopher Eccleston, Billy Piper were fantastic in that. Then David Tennant became, I suppose, my doctor in that way. But the series that has just been airing on the BBC, starring Shuti Gatwa, has ended just at the weekend. A spoilers alert if you haven't seen it, but, you know, good luck to see if you haven't seen this spoiler at all. Billy Piper in the transformation, the regeneration as it is, appeared on screen. after Shooty finished his time. And there's a lot of rumours, a lot of interest going on in it, because traditionally the credits would roll with the name of the previous ending Doctor, and it would say starring, you know, Shooty Gatwa as the Doctor. As it happened, Jodie Whittaker also appeared in that episode, who was the Doctor 2 technically before him, as also the Doctor. But then Billy Piper appeared as just introducing Billy Piper, not saying the Doctor. So why?
And was there, when they went to that, did it show Billy Piper? And
yes.
Was it Billy Piper as she was? Or was it Billy Piper now?
Billy Piper now looking fantastic. She said, oh, hello. And that was the end of the scene. So it's leaving a lot of questions as to whether or not she is going to be the next Doctor.
Yeah.
Or is this another one of these stories? They've had a habit of kind of messing around with the Who universe
in a way. So, yeah.
So, you know, like...
You a Whovian, Brian?
Dip in and out. Definitely Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant for sure. I loved Peter Capaldi in it as well. I loved the fact that they were kind of referencing the man who fell to Earth with his costume and all that kind of jazz. Appreciated that. This seems like a retcon, though. And for those who don't know what a retcon is,
yes, please.
It's basically what they call retroactive continuity. It's where something that is happening now,
yeah,
they are basically changing the story to fit with it retroactively. So it's like, oh, this was planned all along. This was all part of the story kind of stuff.
Right.
That's what I think it is. But
I'm considering David Tennant had returned at one point. So he was the 11th Doctor, but then he became the 14th Doctor. Are they going to do it again? Just to give another go at it because he's so popular.
The thing that always struck me, and part of the reason why I probably don't watch it anymore, is that it always had like something your talented uncle had made in the shed when it came to an alien.
And it was always enjoyable. That was hard
it
to
still
turn.
Worked.
Yeah.
100%.
Now, they did break that rule where they changed the fact that the Daleks couldn't fly or go upstairs. Yeah. And then they were like, actually, technology's changed. They can, even though it still looks like a kitchen whisk and a plunger stuck onto a bad robot.
Again, I love the fact that they made the joke of it. They literally showed the stairs and then the thing going...
But how are they getting on now? So, because since then... The superhuman, you know, superheroes universe has arrived where CGI is, you know, just incredible. Yeah. And they still have, well, the Daleks can now go upstairs, so they're making progress.
And they do take advantage of technology in so many ways. But, you know, I think the big, big fans of it have been analysing that he never fought, Shooty never got a chance to go and fight against the Cybermen, never got a chance to meet a Dalek. So it's kind of like an unfulfilled tenure. As the Doctor, and also unannounced, it was a very much a surprise at the very end of that episode. So,
but it still has its charm, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's still as popular. Maybe it's still a little bit controversial in a way because a lot of people are complaining that the stories are a bit woke and everything. But you know, it still has a place. It's a very much a British institution of television.
That's what I was thinking of, though. As the BBC is overhauled by the streaming networks, it's part of the brand now. The Doctor Who is part of the brand,
and it's sold worldwide to Disney Plus.
Okay.
Except the asterisk is. Worldwide except Ireland. So we can't watch it on Disney Plus, nor can we watch it on iPlayer. So you have to watch it live like it's the 1970s again.
Ah, that's quaint, isn't it?
Yes, it's lovely.
I like that. And before we go to our first one, I have to ask you about the Schwarzeneggers because they're kind of... Well, they're preparing willies, really, is what it looks like.
Weenies is the word of the day.
Look away, Linda.
Who has heard of it being referred to as a weenie in recent times?
I don't think I've ever heard it referred to as a weenie.
And it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, so we probably said weenie as well. So he was both Arnold Schwarzenegger and his son Patrick Schwarzenegger, who you will remember was one of the stars of The White Lotus. He starred as Saxon Ratcliffe. And they did this the amazing series that Variety do called Actors on Actors, where they interview each other. And Arnold was basically said, I was watching White Lotus, I saw your butt sticking out, and then I saw your weenie. And then he was saying there was a couple of parallels to his own work as well, Conan and Terminator as well, with nude scenes and stuff. And he said essentially that it was a shock to see that you were following my footsteps so closely.
Well, you know, they both have amazing physiques.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're going to have long careers in this business. He could even stand for election if he wants to at some point.
Exactly.
All of that.
I was going to say Saxon, the character. No, and Patrick Schwarzenegger at least could stand because he was born in America at least. You never know what could happen. You never know.
But listen, I believe there's also this revelation about that he didn't want to say a particular phrase once.
Yes, of course. If you say Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're going to say the iconic line. I'll be back. Apparently,
I'll be back.
He wasn't too fond of saying it. Him and James Cameron, who wrote and directed The Terminator, they had a bit of a disagreement. Arnold was saying things, I don't like the line. And then James Cameron would say, what do you mean you don't like the line? And essentially, Arnold said, it's very unusual for a German to say such a thing. I would rather say, I will be back. And then he told him not to mess with the words and just say it. Do it 10 times and we'll pick the best one, but just say it as it is.
Imagine if Arnold had been a more developed actor where people were listening to him. That whole phrase could be just gone now.
I will be back.
That would never, ever, ever fly.
Never.
My God. A text in to say Doctor Who is better than Star Trek, Star Wars and Stars in Their Eyes.
Shut up.
All rolled into one.
Shut up.
I can't understand how Irish people don't get it.
Why do you don't get it? You don't get it.
My sister's husband is a big fan. They had a
The TARDIS.
On their wedding cake.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Was it a big cake on the inside but small on the outside?
Oh, God. See, I just over my head.
Don't worry. Yeah. Are some of the writers from League of Gentlemen, that Moffat and people like him, are they getting involved in it now?
I believe so. And Russell T. Davis, of course, is hugely involved as well. So, yeah.
That can save anything.
Yeah.
Because they're great writers.
Yeah, it just depends on what fans you ask, because some of them are like, you know, with this twist, absolutely not.
Right. Yeah, also loads of text saying, never mind Oasis, Nine Inch Nails all the way.
Yes! There you go. Come on! Right.
I think at that
You're
point,
just jealous.
We should look in the direction of our first wine of the day.
Yeah.
What are we going to have?
So Jean-Paul Sigon, it is a Sauvignon Blanc from the Loire Valley in France, and it's called Le Petit. There is nothing petite about this wine. It is booming big and loads going on in the glass. I know, Brian, you don't have any.
No, yeah, but I'll give us a whiff
delicious.
There.
It's delicious. It's so like
smells like apples.
But there you go.
It all smells like apples to me.
The
like
right thing.
Am I wrong?
The right thing. Brian is amazing.
I don't drink. So this is all lost to me.
I have green apples in my
nose. You should enter blind tasting tests. Well, you don't actually taste the wine at all.
You just say green apple. It's probably right.
Apple. It smells like apples.
Some sort of apple. You can't be wrong if you're doing wine tasting, yeah?
Yeah.
So for me, this has got lovely, lovely. Now, it's not like a New Zealand in your face jumping from the glass, but it's got gorgeous fruit going on, lovely citrus notes, lots of lemon, apple, and a lovely minerality. Mm. So that's kind of from the soil of the Loire. But it's got lots of flavour, but it's not too heavy. So what I like about these summer picks that I've chosen today is that they're lower in alcohol, but they don't taste watery. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sometimes if you get lower alcohol, you are compromising on the flavour. With these two, you absolutely aren't. And I think more and more modern winemakers are really kind of looking for that lower alcohol, but balancing with the nice forward fruit that you get. And this is delish. So goat's cheese, any kind of graze and boards, anything like that, absolutely amazing. And as we were discussing, you know, brunch, with your French sausages and your French toast and all the rest, you know, delish. But even like if you've got fruit platters and all, this would be a lovely one to have with it. So this is 11.5%. It is available in so many independent wine shops, including Pinto Wines, McHugh's.
Oh, Pintos, I know them. They're Drumcondra,
Roger's a great guy there.
Yeah.
So 2024 current vintage. Loads of independent wine shops have this, and I actually first wrote about this 8 years ago when I came across it, and it's still a cracker. I wrote about it for Christmas back then, and it's still a cracker.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, isn't it?
I'm really enjoying it. You mentioned like New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs, which often are very syrupy and very fruity. And this has that lightness to it, but still has those notes that you want from a nice Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon Blanc, yeah. Mm. Like I think you know it's Sauvignon. Even Brian, if you didn't know your wine, that you kind of, if you tasted a few, you'd know it's more going on than a Pinot Grigio, say, but it's just really delicate.
And
we joked
that is a breakfast brunch wine type of thing, you know, if you please, but it has that, it's a really nice light one to have. Yeah.
I find I'm classifying my wines now by, you'll have a glass before dinner, glass with dinner, and then it's what's good for after dinner. And into the late night.
Yeah, but also while you're cooking dinner as well, you know. Port, I love a tawny port.
All right.
So from Portugal. So it's not as heavy and sweet as a ruby or a late bottle vintage port, but a nice chilled tawny port. I had one in, what's the name of that new wine bar? The little washerwoman or the little washer. I had a glass. They had them by the glass. It's so nice when you don't want a dessert. You just have something like that.
Yeah.
Even with a simple piece of cheese or some nuts. Amazing.
Gorgeous.
A chilled tawny port.
You paint a beautiful picture, you really do.
10-year-old.
Gorgeous. We'll have our first movie after the break, and it's going to be, what are you going to
Ballerina.
Ballerina after the break. We'll be back with you after this.
Cheese and Booze on Moncrief.
With Marks and Spencer.
They're going to make me a dining offer I can't refuse.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Of all the gin joints in all the world, she walks into mine.
The students will talk about you. How do I get out of here?
The front door is unlocked.
No, I mean, how do I start doing what you do?
Looks like you already have. That door will lock sooner than you think. You can still leave. You still have a choice.
Why didn't you leave?
I'm working on it.
Well, that's very serious stuff indeed, Brian. Holy moly. What's going on here, Brian?
It's See, this is the thing with the John Wickiverse, as it's called, right? It's smell the fart acting. And then you
smell
the fart acting, where everyone just kind of stays really still and kind of like holds their poise. And like, you know, and then someone says something and then it's like, and you're just like, you know, like, so it's all this. You know,
like, everything is who did that.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone's just kind of looking at each other, kind of very kind of like stoically and, you know, like really holding the gaze as it were. But you have that terrible acting. And then you have some of the best action set pieces you are going to see in cinema. Like, really fantastically well done. Ballerina is a spin-off of the John Wick series. So in this, Ana de Armas, who you heard there, plays this woman called Eve Macaro, who's been trained since birth to become this killer assassin. But it is also a ballerina player. And her boss is Angelica Houston. And we find out at the start of the film that she was, Ana de Armas' character was kidnapped, was about to be kidnapped by Gabriel Byrne, the Irish actor. But her dad fought them off. And then she was taken in by Ian McShane and then was trained to be the killer assassin, blah, 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 blah. Fast forward 12 years later and she meets one of these henchmen with the mark on her on the arm and she sets off on a path of revenge to try to find out who it is. The very first John Wick film was literally Keanu Reeves for 90 minutes killing people because someone killed his dog. Totally understandable. What did they totally get it. Like you kill my dog, good luck. I'm going to get a pen and a pencil and I'm going to start stabbing people. Until I get to the person who did it. That was the elegant simplicity of it, was exactly what was needed at that time. And then fast forward to the fourth film, and it's very much about maximalism. It's very much about, like, how can we fit all the neon? How can we fit all the special effects? How can we cram this into, like, a 3-hour odyssey? So, with that in mind, Ballerina comes in and it's kind of a bit of an awkward stepchild. You don't really know if it's going for simplicity or if it's going for the maximalist kind of approach. And the director of this is a guy called Len Wiseman, who previously did, if you remember, the Underworld films, Kate Beckinsale.
The leathery vampire-y kind of
stuff, very goth, like that great goth soundtracks like Dillinger Escape Plan and, you know, in the early 2000s, like they were kind of seen as a bit gauche, but now they've been kind of reevaluated as sort of like feminist action films and stuff like that. So he's a great choice for this. This is fine. It is, you know, very serviceable. I think Ana de Armas has kind of, you know, as an actor, I think she can be quite limited by the fact that she's very, very good looking and they'll just always kind of cast her in sort of femme fatale kind of roles. But she does have a little bit of versatility about it. Knives Out would be an example of that, where she's kind of can be placed into it and do quite well. This, though, I don't know if she can kind of sustain this by herself. And as I was saying, like, you know, she's surrounded by great talent like Gabriel Byrne. Angelica Houston, fantastic, and just chewing the scenery in every minute she gets. Same with Gabriel Byrne as well. Keanu Reeves does come into it, like he has more of a sort of an extended cameo, but I think he's just brought in there to kind of remind people, oh, this is part of the John Wickiverse. I enjoyed it for what it was.
The reviews are saying that about it, that it's a lot of fun, and maybe John Wick films aren't always a lot of fun.
No, I mean, I would say the thing about the John Wick films is that they know what they're doing and they do it very, very well. And it's really a work of craft and not a work of art, which is to say that these are some of the best stunt performers in the industry being put into the very, you know, height of their work. But, you know, the story is secondary, you know, that sort of way. Like, and this
fair
is
enough.
Nothing. What?
Fair enough.
Fair enough, yeah. And yeah. I mean, like, you can, if you want to get really kind of like up in the air, up your noses in the air about it, I mean, this goes back to Harold Lloyd and stuff like that and the birth of cinema. And it was just the most cockamamie kind of stories. But how are we going to put Harold Lloyd in the most dangerous of circumstances? You know, that sort of way. Like, Safety Last is an example. And the film does reference a lot of comedy in this as well. Like, I mean, there's an entire fight sequence in Ballerina where it's Ana de Armas and a cook beating the crap out of each other, but they're throwing plates at each other, you know, that sort of way. Like, there's a lot of like slapstick comedy in this, so I enjoyed it, definitely. It's a very enjoyable experience, so yeah, it's worth a watch.
Okay, Mark's out of 5?
3 out of 5.
I could hear 3 coming all day. Yeah,
but you know what, hold on. Tom, a solid 3 out of 5, that is a work of craft, like 3 out of 5 all day long. I will take that you know, some highfalutin, pretentious, gaudy monstrosity. Give me a solid 3 out of 5 any day of the week. You can put this on, enjoy one of your lovely wines and just...
Absolutely.
It's a bit like Taken, though, isn't it? I mean, in all those movies, you know full well.
100%.
You know.
It's going to be Liam Neeson kicking the crap out of Albanians for 90 minutes.
And you go, brilliant.
Fantastic. Sign me up. Yeah. No problem.
Put another bottle in the fridge.
Yeah, 100%.
The night is unfolding ahead of us. So we mentioned Sarah Jessica Parker and her on-set little bonus things that's on set.
She was clever. Back when Sex and the City started, she was very, very clever to get one thing written into the contract. Now, how many News Talk pens have you got, by the way?
Loads.
You've got loads. I've got so much News Talk merchandise just from walking around the place. She has written into her contract, and revealed this earlier this week, that there was a clause that when it came to all the designer outfits and shoes and the hats and everything, including that atrocious looking hat that was in there just like that last week, she was allowed to keep all items of clothing from the show, and it was so that she didn't have to steal anything. So it was almost as if they preempted that it'd be like, this is really nice, you're probably going to take this, we're just going to have it in your contract that you won't. So when you think about it, you know, there has been 116 episodes of Sex and the City, 2 films. If you add it all together, it's one season, the budget was approximately €174,000 worth of clothing. So there's quite a lot of stuff there.
In one season,
yeah. And, you know, designer stuff, people really want, especially as it moved on through the times, and especially even now, the fashion in And Just Like That is remarkable. So it's not really a surprise that...
But a lot of those things, because they're designer, they'd actually go up in value, wouldn't they?
Exactly. So I wonder, does she have a Vinted account? Is she selling them?
I'm just trying to do the maths in my head. If it was, near, say, 200 grand a season, now there were 5 seasons, was there?
There was 116 episodes. Yeah, it was 6 seasons, like, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it's say about 1.2 million.
Yeah, easily,
at those values, then.
And then it keeps getting
screen
more
worn stuff. Like, if you ever follow any of those, like, Hollywood auctions, like, and stuff like that, the minute they say screen worn, like, the price is going through the roof. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That as well. Yeah.
Like, David Lynch's, like, his estate auction and all the rest of it's going on at the minute. Like, any of the screen worn stuff that he's used, or stuff like, listen, like, a cup that was used in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
You're talking like 5-10 grand at least. Like, and that's for a cup. What's going to be like for clothes?
Not an address.
For a Chanel bag from Sex and the City. When the bag itself is probably going to be, I don't know, 10.
And I doubt the bag had like lipstick stains inside it, because it was probably just held, walked around and put back into storage.
God, people go, do lally for that, wouldn't they?
No.
Do lally. Can't wait. Some of them have to hit auction at some point and we have to see what they're...
It depends on how the career goes. She has applied for citizenship as well in Ireland, and it hasn't been going well. Another one. Exactly.
We'll get to the next one in a few months' time. But listen, I believe also that the famous Cosmopolitans they were drinking.
Yes, the Cosmos. So, of course, when you think of Sex and the City, you instantly go straight to the Beveraginos and you think of the Cosmos. And it was revealed she was a guest alongside many of her co-stars who played Miranda, Seema, Charlotte and LTW in And Just Like That. They were a guest on Andy Cohen's radio show. And they said that they essentially were just given watered down cranberry juice throughout the entire period of the show. And it wasn't until everything ended that they went to a very fancy New York restaurant called Morandi. It's an Italian restaurant there. It was only then that she tried a proper Cosmopolitan for the first time. And it was one of the best that she ever had, but by comparison to all the watery rubbish.
If you've been drinking
rubbish,
watery cranberry juice for years, I'd say you'd think it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right. What's it? Do we know it's in Cosmopolitan at all?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
go on.
I did not have a good experience with a Cosmopolitan on a holiday last year in Donegal. they ran out of one of the key ingredients, which is cranberry juice. So they gave us a orange-looking drink.
Oh, no.
So it was vodka and vodka and orange juice with a cherry.
Oh, no. So it's like a screwdriver.
I was like, oh, sorry, we ran out of Cointreau.
SJP also does Holiday in Donegal. So are we equating that there's every chance that she went to the same place in Donegal and ordered all the Cosmos?
And that was, so I just said, he asked, would we like them changed? And I wouldn't be a snob like that and stuff, but a Cosmo is a Cosmo.
Exactly.
And it's vodka, Cointreau, and, or triple sec, and lime juice. And it, little bit of burnt orange peel. Mm. You know what I mean? It has to be perfect.
It makes you want one now.
Oh my God, I would love a Cosmo. And she also makes wine as well, Sarah Jessica.
I think the occasional week when you might do a Cosmo spot on the show or just a cocktail. Just put that idea in your head.
They had a mixologist here and he made them right there. Yeah. And I had one and I got drunk on air. That happened. It was like a Christmas. I was done for the year.
And this is why you don't drink
anymore.
And this is why I don't drink.
I took like one big gulp of it and I was like, oh yeah, this tastes great.
God bless movies and movies.
I was half cut.
Well,
we won't be going back there. Maybe scrap that. Forget that idea after all, if that's all right. Before we carry on with our next one, I have to ask you about this poor woman, Ellen Pompeo, is it?
Yes, Grey's Anatomy star. God love her. We've all been through the airports, Dublin Airport announcement, the 100 mil restriction is hopefully going to be gone by the end of the midway through the summer. She was going through an airport with a bag of sunflower seeds. Now, these were organic ones from a particular shop, and I checked it out. It was 85 grams of sunflower seeds costing $5.99, so kind of pricey on it, and they thought it was a bomb. They brought the bomb squad in to check on her to make sure that they weren't actually bombs. And it's apparently a thing that food issues happen a lot with the TSA in America.
Is that whatever's in the seeds are giving off the same kind of chemical signature as...
Very likely, or also the visuals as well of them sometimes, you know, like I don't know if you've brought tea bags through.
Well,
happened.
I've had beef dripping taken off me. Don't ask why I had beef dripping with me. I lived in London at the time. I had a very nice beef dripping from James Whelan's Butchers, and I wanted to bring it home to London with me, and they took it off me at security, and I said to the guy, please use this to make the best roasts of your life, and he just went no and took it away.
What, and threw it in the bin?
Devastating. I know.
What a sad story. That is sad. My God, sad. I think we need a drink after that.
For sure.
Let's move on to wine number two.
So this is Dandy de Cidro, which is from the Douro Valley in Portugal. And if you think of Portugal and you think of the Douro Valley, you think of port, like you think of big, heavy, rich, high alcohol, sweeter wines. And this is not that. It's the opposite. It is a wine that I had popped in the fridge before we went on air, which Russell loved the idea of. We got you with that, didn't we? I had you at chilled wine, chilled red wine. And it's just light and fruity, real raspberry and kind of pomegranate fruit. And for me, that. Yeah,
gorgeous.
Here, smell that, Brian.
I wasn't expecting that.
So it's just really fresh.
Wasn't that? No. That's gorgeous.
It's so good. They also have a white and it's absolutely delicious as well. It's only 10.5% alcohol, but loads of flavour. And these are fairly new on the market.
Smells like Ribena.
Okay.
So apple and Romina. But it doesn't. You see, loads of people think that, like yourself, that
I don't drink wine. It means nothing to me.
So it tastes like vinegar. Okay, so at least you got like fruit forward notes like that. So raspberry, pomegranate. Again,
sorry, did he ace it again there?
Yeah, let's just say. Yes. Don't give him more of a big head here.
Have a WSET in no time.
Problem. Yeah,
need a manager.
This is it. Like. I don't even drink when I'm doing this.
Like, that is definitely your daytime, isn't it? Yeah. No, that is for Dancing with the Stars, the movie Hairspray, a bit of a fun red.
Mm. Yeah.
It is not your Goodfellas wine when you want a serious drink. It's more daytime, isn't it?
Yeah, saying earlier, just to fill people in, we were talking about what would you drink this, what would you have this with? You know, I think people would say cheese or wine, but we actually mean box sets. Which box set would you have it with? Or would this be more of a kind of Sex and the City wine, or would it be?
If you were a red drinker, pop it in the fridge and have it with Sex and the City, or Sex and the City, whatever you want to do. And it's really, really juicy and fruity and bright. Yeah. That would be a word that I'd use in soft and smooth. So tannin, the way your mouth dries out and things, it doesn't happen here. It doesn't need food. You could totally drink it on its own. And any kind of little charcuterie board as well. Grazing board's my favourite thing right now. But again, a fruit platter. Can you imagine having gorgeous fruits laid out and having this little drop?
You just really bring it all out.
And during the day, just, you know, like while you're ironing or whatever.
Ironing, there's the thing you could do.
Ironing wine, fantastic.
You could use a straw as well for this. I think Ribena, a straw.
Brilliant.
You could actually bring my waddy with you and empty
that's
it out.
Just have a little.
Instead, people would think of my waddy.
Yeah.
But again, so that is available. Again, good independent wine shops, 11.5%. And it is available in, and it's actually the oldest producer in Portugal, who are doing kind of more modern style wine making, that it's got moving away from the big, heavy, high alcohol style. And it's available in Pinto's, our friends, McHugh's, the Vintry in where they Rathgar, Dundalk Wines and Red Island Wines. So very all good. Over. Good.
And it's in Fallon and Burn as well. I've seen it in Fallon and Burn
is
as
it?
Well. Yeah,
that didn't come up now, but yeah, Fallon and Burn.
Pinto sounds like the place to be.
Yeah, good spot.
Great references for it there. Thank you very much. That's delicious, Evelyn, again. So we're going to have a quick break. We're going to find out if somebody has won €75,000. We're going to have our second film. They are on the way.
And Booze on Moncrief
with Marks and Spencer. This is not just food, this is M&S food.
A martini shaken, not stirred.
Of all the gin joints in all the world, she walks into mine.
You're very welcome back. We'll go to our second movie in a moment. Let's find out now if we have a winner in the cash machine.
News Talk's Cash Machine.
Stephen was getting ready to hit the road for the long weekend when we phoned him last Friday. He's probably spent the time since looking for his dream bike. Well done, Stephen. We're doing it again right now and hopefully setting somebody else up for a great summer. Even more money on the line, so if you've entered since Stephen won, check your phone. Don't hang around. You'll need to answer this call within five rings and you need to tell us today's winning amount.
One ring. Two rings. Three rings. Four rings. Five rings.
I cannot remember the last time we had a missed call. I think this may be the first one of the year. Can't believe that. 75k stays in the cash machine for a rollover. Let me remind you how that works. That means even more money. So if you've entered since last Friday, 5pm, you're already in our next game, but you will need the correct cash total. Listen to the hard shoulder just after 5 to get that new cash amount and we could be calling you.
News Talk's Cash Machine.
Well, I have to admit, I was just waiting to find the name of the person who's going to be getting 75,000 there to spend over the weekend. I'm stunned and shocked.
Yeah.
Do you expect me to call like that and not answer? I don't know what to say. My brother-in-law, when we sit and talk, says, I find, there's two rings go by without me noticing at all. So I really only have three rings to get it.
Most people can't keep their phone on silent. Unless I have it right on my purse and I can feel it vibrating, like that's going straight to voicemail.
After 3:05 of a Friday, I just have it in my hand staring at it.
Just hoping, waiting.
What I would do. New total coming up after 4 o'clock. But we're going on to our second movie now and it's going to be...
The Ballad of Wallace Island. Island.
Let's take a listen to this.
There she goes. To paraphrase the Beatles, there goes the sun. Fan of the Beatles, Herb?
Can we just...
Oh, I bet you are.
Watch the sunset.
I bet you bloody are.
Yes, I like the Beatles. Let's watch the sunset, okay?
We were lucky enough once to see the bootleg Beatles.
Brilliant.
You've seen them, Herb? Something else. Tight as a drum.
Okay.
Hit after hit.
Can we just please watch
this
damn
sunset?
That is a clip from The Ballad of Wallace Island.
Yes.
And what is going on here exactly?
Right. Are you familiar with Alan Partridge?
Absolutely.
Do you remember Sidekick Simon?
Vaguely.
Yeah, Alan Russell there is nodding his head. So Sidekick Simon was a character played by Tim Key. He's a character who you heard there. What's going on this is that there's this folk duo called Maguire Mortimer that's played by Tom Bosin and Carey Mulligan. They split up years ago. Tim Key plays this eccentric millionaire who lives on this remote island and he has brought the pair of them together to reunite them to play a very intimate gig celebrating the
the death of his wife 5 years ago. She was a massive fan of their band, and he brings it back together. So it's really just a sort of like getting the band back together, for lack of a better kind of thing, and the kind of the push and pull of it, and the fact that, you know, the two characters, Carey Mulligan and Tom Bosin, were previously lovers, and that their music was very much tied to their relationship. She is now married, and it's, as it's revealed, she turns out that she's pregnant, and his solo career has just been kind of floundering. There's an element of like Belle and Sebastian about it, you know. Yeah. You can kind of see that going in it as well. But this is lovely. Like, I mean, it's very kind of light and very sort of enjoyable. You can see that everyone is kind of really trying to make something out of this. It was originally a short about, like, I think like 10 years ago. So it does still have that kind of DNA, in that you can tell that it's been expanded out. You can tell that they've tried to kind of, you know, draw out more scenes. And it does feel sometimes like they're really kind of relying on the sort of improvisational nature of it. That some scenes, like you heard there, they're kind of dragging it on for the sake of just keeping the joke going. But, you know, it's a beautiful film.
Are they original songs?
Yeah, they're all original songs as well, yeah, which is great as well. Yeah, I like them. I mean, I'm not a folky, but I appreciated what they were going for. I appreciated the fact that they wrote them and they sounded good and they were singing them themselves. Like, Carey Mulligan has a beautiful voice. Like, she really, really does. And Tom Bosin as well, great singer. So there's a lot to like about this. And, you know, like, for 90 minutes, it's a nice, warm, romantic comedy. You know, it's fun, it's enjoyable, you'll enjoy this with a lovely wine, and yeah, great. I mean, a really enjoyable, like 4 out of 5 at least.
I'll ask you for the wine recommend. 4 out of 5, sorry, did you sneak
4 out of 5? Yeah, for sure, yeah, no, it's really,
I can see that coming.
I can't find a fault with this,
right.
It's really lovely, and yeah, and like, you know, it helps when films are charming, and helps when the leads, you know, you want to like them. You want them to be, you want them to get together. Yeah. This is the thing. Like, it's very hard to kind of get yearning on screen and do it well, because sometimes it can be just like, you know, people trying to force it. This doesn't have that. It's quite effortless, you know, that sort of way. And yeah.
There's
and
a lot of fun to be had with the folk music if you wanted to, if you have that. You know,
yeah, definitely.
Your head.
I mean, you could have something like A Mighty Wind, where it's just completely taking the mick out of it, where but like A Mighty Wind, you can have like the fun and the stupidity of it, but then you can have that beautiful moment at the end when Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara have that little kiss.
Yeah,
and then it goes back into the joke of
you don't know that film. It was from the same people who gave A Spinal Tap.
Yeah, Christopher Guest. Yeah, he made a whole run of these films where like there was one where like Waiting for Guffman,
Dog World.
Yeah, Waiting for Guffman. You know, like these great like parodies. But yeah, it all started with Spinal Tap. This isn't that though. I mean, this kind of, this takes it seriously.
Great.
Yeah, no, it's really enjoyable. Yeah. You dig it for sure.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing it. I'm going to dig it.
Dig it, man.
What would you drink with the rose on that? Yeah. I just want to be clear.
Studio
on that,
by Mirabelle.
No, I don't want to make...
My wife had that. She said it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm so excited.
I hear a wine and I'm like, oh, I know that one. Like,
no, I don't want to make the current host of The Late Late Show nervous, but Rosie O'Donnell is living here now.
She is indeed.
I met her. She was on Ireland AM. She's lovely.
Yeah. She's
really
a very, very successful TV presenter.
Yes.
Yeah, like Rosie O'Donnell's career is fascinating. I always, every time I talk about Rosie O'Donnell, I always tell people to read a book or listen to the audiobook call of a reveal all called The Ladies Who Punch.
Yeah.
And it is all about the history of The View and how, you know, Barbara Walters, an amazing American journalist who died a couple of years ago, she paved the way for, you know, getting women's voices on television and having authentic conversations, even if you're not friends with everyone. And of course, Rosie O'Donnell was one of the hosts of that, had lots of controversies throughout that time, but obviously has had, is not very unhappy with the Trump administration, so moved to Ireland.
So she's literally left America because of the Trump administration.
And she's in the process of getting citizenship as well.
And it's gone probably more successful so far than Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
And herein lies the link that Rosie O'Donnell, of course, also had a cameo. She's been cameoing like crazy, not only here in Ireland. She was in the last season of Hacks just there in an episode. And she also appeared in a brilliant role. I'm not going to spoil it too much of And Just Like That as one of Miranda's love interests. If you haven't watched the first episode of the series yet, it is hilarious. But she is here and she has decided to do her first big stand-up show, new stand-up show in almost almost a decade, and it's taking place at the Three Olympia Theatre in July on the 27th. Tickets went on sale today.
Wow.
And there's still some available there. And I think it's pretty incredible. You know, she's really making Ireland her home. Mm. She's really embracing Irish culture, has appeared on various different
bits. She was on Ireland, like, I did my review slot on Ireland AM with her sitting next to me, like, and she was chirping at me.
Fairly nerve-wracking.
She was literally chirping at me in the middle of it, and I was like trying to keep straight going, like, and keep kind of on it. Mm. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So intimidating.
So she's living here, she's doing comedy here. Mm. I'd say looking around her to see what other opportunities might present themselves.
Exactly. Here. And like, the show at the Three Olympia is not the first time that she's been on stage. She's been doing things at Whelan's and stuff like that.
I was
going to
say, she's workshopping it. Yeah,
which I think is wonderful. And alongside like up and coming young comedians. So maybe coming to Ireland has made her kind of go back to those roots in a lot of ways. And especially like, you know, if you have people, like including some people from this building who work there or who perform on stage at these comedy clubs, it's an amazing experience to learn from someone like Rosie O'Donnell, who's had an amazing career, and it's, you know, has Ireland become like her second coming type of thing?
Sure, yeah.
It's fantastic.
I find those things too. They're all stand-ups say it's like the cold face of comedy. Mm. You know, no matter what stage your career is at, unless you can walk back on stage with a small audience and produce something.
Exactly. And actually, the aforementioned Hacks shows that. If you haven't watched it, it's a wonderful series, but there's a few scenes where Deborah Vance goes back to the stand-up shows as well.
Very good. She has another reason to be here as well, isn't she? Her house was one of the ones that disappeared in the Malibu Forest.
That's right, yes, which is very unfortunate. Oh,
so I wanted to also ask you about... what's her name again? Miley Cyrus.
So, good old Miley. So, of course, many, many people, depending on your generation, will know her as the lady who went naked on a wrecking ball, and others will know her as Hannah Montana. It's one or the other, really, for many people, depending.
Or Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter.
Billy Ray Cyrus. And
or Jolly's.
That's him.
So Dolly Parton's
goddaughter.
There's a lot of reasons to know her, haven't we?
A truly magnificent musician, regardless. But she started off her life as very much as Hannah Montana, obviously, after all of these other family connections.
Is that part of the Mickey Mouse Club?
The Disney family, thing. So,
a lot of talent has come from the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, and you know, like there's things like Camp Rock coming back and stuff like that.
Did I read Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling was on
the
Mickey Mouse Club.
She has been promoting her new album, releases some really great music, and she revealed that she, after leaving Disney and leaving Hannah Montana, she was actually barred by Disney from ever performing her music that she did there. Now,
Very un-Disney-like,
I know, but like she wouldn't be able to, you know, if you have songs like The Best of Both Worlds, which is one of Hannah Montana's songs, kind of got jars against the image that she is going on.
But no, I can see it now, fair enough.
She was inducted into the Disney Legends group, the youngest member of that ever, and she is now allowed to perform the songs again. So who knows, we could be having a Hannah Montana tribute at the next Miley Cyrus concert if she ever comes along again.
We live in hope. And is she happy with her dad's new dating partner?
Oh, she hasn't revealed, I don't believe, has she?
I'm sure she knows.
They don't have the best relationship at the moment.
Eventually.
So I'm sure there's a... She's very curious, but has her own things to worry about.
Well, listen, we have a few very secretive things to talk about amongst ourselves now once the red light goes down.
No way.
So I will wish you farewell to our audience. Say thank you very much for joining us. Hard Shoulders on the way. My thanks to Linda Bryan and Russell. And we'll see you again soon.